ask your customer what they would be motivated by. You know, of course, there's traditional monetary incentives, but then it's also interesting to get creative and think about what are other ways that you can show kind of your love and appreciation for all the work that they're doing.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. It's time for a masterclass episode. Yes, we have got a master of their craft to talk to you in today's episode. And we're going to be talking about community and about connecting with your customers or your audience, as is my case. So I thought it would make a lot of sense to start this one by giving a shout out to one of you lot. So I want to say a huge thank you to the listener, Fred123UK, who was kind enough to take the time to post a review of the show on Apple Podcasts. So Fred123UK from the UK, thank you for putting this lovely little gem of a review on Apple for us. Fred says, insightful and fun, a great podcast for those interested in working in e-commerce. There's so much noise out there online about what you should and shouldn't do and supposed quick wins. And so it is so nice and refreshing to have a show that's filled with great guests and a great host. Fred123UK, you flatter me too much. But thank you so much for doing that. And if you would like a shout out at the start of an episode, then just go to ecmp.info/review to find out how to leave a review. And maybe I'll be reading your review out in a future episode. Well, as Fred123UK said, so many quick wins supposedly out there, so much noise out there. Well, in this episode, we're going to dive into a tried and tested strategy with someone who has tried and tested it. We're talking about community and how you build that as an alternative to performance marketing for a startup. So rather than going deep into Facebook ads, Google ads, TikTok ads, all those kind of performance marketing channels, we're going to be discussing how you build the more organic side, the community side, to build long-term growth into your brand. Caveat, I think both me and Emily, because we discussed this before you hit record, both of us would advocate you do both, but it's good to be able to talk about the alternatives to performance marketing every now and again. So we'll be getting deep, as I said, into community, what that means, how to build it into your startup or your advanced business if you're further along this plan. And we'll also be going even deeper into probably the most tried and tested and foolproof type of community marketing, the ambassador program. How do you turn your top customers into ambassadors that bring you more new customers and help you out in many, many ways? Emily has done that for multiple businesses, and she'll be giving us all the insights, lots of tactical elements, lots of strategic elements coming up. And please do listen to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on her top tips, which were excellent, and my own take on this episode. If your tech stack is becoming a bottleneck to growth, it's time to replatform, and you should check out Shopline. Shopline is the modern commerce platform that's disrupting Europe as one of Asia's leading e-commerce platforms. Whether your bottleneck is setting up more sales channels like social commerce or expanding to new markets globally, Shopline takes care of everything from store setups, checkouts and payments to logistics and more. With single-click migration and out-of-the-box tools, they're there to help. The best part about it? You don't need to pay until your site is live. Here in the UK, they power brands like In The Style and Everything £5, whilst in Asia, they're the platform of choice for huge brands like Lego and Muji. If you want to scale, it's time to book your free trial or have a chat with one of the Shopline team. Find out what Shopline could do for you via ecmp.info/Shopline. That's ecmp.info/Shopline. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500, yes, 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook. And now to introduce our special expert guest. Emily Hollander is a fractional marketing director to early stage consumer startups, especially those looking to build brand and community across both online and offline platforms. Current and past clients include Rent the Runway, The Wing, Tia, The Sill, and Modern Animal. Hello, Emily.
Hi, Chloe. So happy to be here.
Great to have you here too. And congrats on getting to work with so many cool startups. It must be a very exciting way to work.
Thank you. Yes, it's been a fun journey so far. It's, you know, for the past 10 years I've been in the startup space. Sometimes it feels like I've lived 10 different careers in one. And excited to share more about it.
So how did you end up in the e-commerce space?
Yeah, so I really fell into marketing in the startup world 10 years ago. I had just graduated college and joined Rent the Runway at a really exciting time in the business. For those who are unfamiliar, Rent the Runway is a clothing rental platform. It's one of the first to make renting clothing a service. And I joined the team about 10 years ago. And again, it was at this exciting time where the brand was thinking about how to take the experience offline and really deepen the relationship with their customers. I, you know, didn't formally join the marketing team to start. I was on the retail expansion team. We were thinking about, again, how to take this experience offline. And I really did everything, you know, in typical right out of college fashion, from reviewing, you know, NPS data, sales data, helping the team pull together training documents and employee handbook materials as we were expanding our physical footprint. And was happy and excited to raise my hand when we needed to figure out a way to build awareness for our new locations. And so I ended up being that core marketing leader to figure out how do we, again, build awareness, drive traffic to our stores, and ultimately drive sales and revenue for the business as well. And really with no formal marketing training, I first started with the customer. Again, as I mentioned, looking at customer feedback and NPS data was one of my daily tasks and jobs when I had first joined the team. So I started with the data and heard what customers were saying and really used that to build the initial retail marketing strategy for the team, and was able to continue with the team for several years, joined a broader community marketing function as we expanded what retail and community looked like at the company, and then went on to join The Wing and Tia to really continue to level up my journey as a marketer. And during that time was able to expand my scope more into integrated and brand marketing, where I oversaw really go-to-market strategy and operations for tentpole brand moments and new location launches. And throughout all of these experiences, have really loved working with teams and companies where community is core to the product and experience. Fast forward and cut to now, I am working in a fractional capacity with early stage consumer startups and teams. And really after seeing all the highs of startup life to some of the lows as well, I wanted to figure out how to really, you know, take some of those very clear learnings and observations and patterns and pitfalls facing startup marketing teams and be able to help them at these key moments of scale.
Love your experience, Emily. What a ride to be on. But I think one of the things which strikes me from it, which is good because it's what we're going to be talking about in this episode, is that so often when we talk about, you know, the big startups, the big stories in the space, the keen, the eager, the growth, the ones who've really got their pedal to the metal, which I've totally said wrong, but you all know what I mean. We think of them in terms of product and in terms of performance marketing, so ad campaigns and that kind of hard-nosed stuff. But there's actually, although we don't seem to hear about it quite so much, an awful lot of the softer marketing, the community, the branding going alongside that to make sure there's that long-term growth. Would you agree with that? You know, obviously you're a lot deeper into it than I am.
Absolutely. I agree. And, you know, as a marketer, really, over the past 10 years, I've struggled to kind of put myself in a box of, I don't feel like I fit on a traditional growth or performance or paid team. However, a lot of the goals that I've been working towards are the same, where I want to drive both awareness, but then membership and customer growth. And I do and have noticed really in the past year that there has been a switch where I think founders and investors and teams are realizing the importance of brand and community, just given how unpredictable the algorithm can be across, you know, paid digital channels. And so I think the thing that I've been trying to tackle and have been working with my clients on is how do you unlock sustainable organic growth channels without relying and depending on traditional paid media like, you know, Meta or TikTok? So yes, I completely agree.
So what, Emily, would you put in that list of channels?
Yeah. So as I think about organic and brand marketing, first I think about what are the own channels that are within a brand's ecosystem. So think about, you know, organic social content that could live across email, events, experiences. An area that I'm very excited about and really has been my sweet spot too throughout my experience has been this idea of community. So how do you think about activating really, I think, your most vital growth asset, which is your existing customers? So ambassador, influencer partnerships, referral, affiliate, ways to unlock growth by leaning into and engaging with your core customer more deeply. So I really think about organic and brand channels as everything except, you know, your traditional performance and paid marketing.
Let's dive in a bit to that community piece, because I think it's where a lot of brands get stuck. So quick question for you, Aisha, which is the one that always springs to mind for me, is when we talk community, are you envisaging a forum or a Facebook group or something like that? Or is it a more amorphous way of connecting with the customer base?
Yeah, you know, I've been really on a search to define what community marketing means, because I think, and you know, this is kind of a non-answer, it means a different thing to a different company and a different person. So I think the first thing is just defining what does community mean to you. For me and where I am right now, keep in mind this definition might change in a few months or a few years from now. To me, community marketing is not just dedicated tactics. It's also a way of thinking in terms of how you approach your marketing. I believe, you know, community is developing and getting people together to chat about a shared interest or goal. And when it comes to community marketing, I think that's really centering your customer in the business decisions that you make. And thinking about how to not just have a one-way kind of transaction with your customer, but really have a two-way dialogue and conversation so that it feels like a deeper relationship, not a transaction. So that could be, for example, co-creating a product with your customer, getting their feedback before you go live. It could be spotlighting your members or customers in your own content and brand channels. It could be, you know, launching a dedicated community program like a digital forum that you mentioned, or say a dedicated ambassador or referral program. So it can mean a lot of different things, but at a high level, that's the definition that I'm working with right now.
I like that definition, you know, dedicated tactics plus a way of thinking. And I think that way of thinking is the key bit, really, because then you can see where it works and where it works for your customers. So that suggests a way of thinking, suggests that we need to embed this across the whole organization, not just with our community manager. It's not just on them, it's on everybody. Would that be a fair assumption?
Absolutely. Community is not just one person's full-time job. I really think it is a way of thinking across the organization. And it really, you know, it starts with the broader business strategy too. And I think training and encouraging team members across every vertical and team to really have this community first mindset, I think is key to really making that change and ensuring that community effectively and impactfully shows up across your marketing work and just across the customer experience more broadly.
And so I guess it's once you've got the whole team thinking this way, then it's how the needs of the business align with the needs of the customer and joining those together. Because presumably, if you want to create a referral program, but none of your customers want to refer, it's never going to work. So there has to be that element of kind of understanding the customer's needs, desires, wants too.
Exactly. And I think that's where, and something I've loved, you know, throughout my experience when building dedicated community programs like ambassador programs, is that I feel like I've been able to kind of shorten the distance between the brand and the customer. And it got to a point where I could, you know, text one of my ambassadors, or they could text me, or we could hop on a phone call and really get that feedback. Of course, it's important to have other, you know, quantitative moments to get feedback, like dedicated surveys. But I do think those one-to-one informal interactions and just being able to pick up the phone and chat with your core customer, I think is really key, no matter if you're just starting out or a bigger company like Rent the Runway at the time.
So let's dive into that ambassador piece, because I think that's one which I would imagine most brands could explore. How do you go about realizing it's right for your business? I suppose let's start there. And then how do we go about setting it up?
Great question. And it's definitely a challenging one, because investing in building out an ambassador program is no joke. It takes time. It takes a dedicated resource to manage. And so asking those questions up front is really key. I think one of the main questions one could ask, and is something I kept or have kept in mind both at Rent the Runway and then my continued experiences building those programs, is, are your customers naturally and organically talking about your brand? So unprompted, are they sharing their experiences on, say, social media? Are they writing glowing reviews across, say, you know, Google reviews or Yelp or on your site? Are they referring other customers and friends and family members? And so if you see that there's already some signals that your customers are talking about your product, from my perspective, I think that's a good sign that ambassador might be a direction forward for you. I think the thing across all of this, and one of the assumptions too, is that your product is really strong and that your experience is really strong and valuable too. And I think if you create this really awesome product or experience, people will want to talk about it. So I would recommend starting there, asking yourself, are customers already talking about us? And then from there, I would talk to them, understand what they're looking for, understand, you know, how they want to deepen their relationship with the brand, what's missing in the current experience, how do they want to be incentivized as well? I think incentives become a big piece here of, if you want to get somebody to refer even more, what are they getting in return? And then after that, I think it comes down to testing. When I filled out Rent the Runway's college ambassador program to start, the first semester was getting 50 ambassadors on board, and it was a pilot. It was a test. Really use it as an opportunity to go through the motions, figure out what worked and what didn't, and then use those to inform the broader ambassador strategy. So I would recommend starting there. Again, it's a big, you know, can be a big investment, and it takes time to see some of those returns. But I think if you're already seeing some of that organic conversation in sharing behavior, then that's a good sign that there might be something there to explore an ambassadorship.
Love that rundown, Emily. Thank you. And one thing which strikes me from that is you said that with Rent the Runway, it was a college ambassador program. So it's not just some of our customers will become ambassadors. You got quite specific about which group of customers you would be running this program for, it sounds like. Is that a good thing to do?
Yes, absolutely. And with that program, exactly, we started off and looked at one of our target customer segments, which was the college audience. And so another one of those questions you might ask is, who would this program be for? Which customer segment or core target customer would you want to be going after? And the reason actually I ended up in me and the team ended up investing in ambassador marketing for this college Gen Z audience was because we realized that authenticity and recommendation was really key, especially with this target consumer. So yes, I think there are definitely ways to segment programs as well and look at your community and understand really who is this for and who would get the most value out of this and where would this resonate.
And then for the test stage, I suppose, do you start off with some software to manage it all via, or do you just simply use WhatsApp? What does the tech stack look like around this?
Yeah, great question. So we were pretty scrappy in the early days and before really validating whether or not this could be a viable growth channel for the company, you know, we didn't have budget to invest in traditional technology and build out that tech stack. So we ended up, and I got really good at spreadsheets and Google Sheets and WhatsApp and setting up communication forums in places where ambassadors could go to reference information. But I didn't get too caught up on where all of this information lived, because again, the program was in its infancy. We were still trying to figure out if this could work. So wanted to do that work first before investing in additional tools. That said, what's been exciting really since my experience 10 years ago building out that program is that there's lots of new technologies out there in community management softwares that you can, you know, set up a digital community, white label, you know, the platform so it feels more branded. I'm, you know, just as a consumer these days, too, in many communities, both on Slack and WhatsApp and other platforms, too. So the good news is that there now is a lot more technology in the community space and some great platforms to explore. But I would recommend before jumping to the what and, you know, what tech you want to use, first focus on the program itself and building out really the integrity and use case that, hey, this is a viable channel and direction for us as a business before investing in some additional tools.
Nice. Okay. So the other big question I think that comes up around ambassadors is, how much do we pay them? Is paying them to get sales, is that the main aim? What's this like to cost us, and what are the likely outcomes? Which is, I realize, Emily, it's like a massive question. So do what you can with it.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the answer really depends on the business and who the ambassadors are. You know, back in the day at Rent the Runway, I remember thinking a similar thing of, oh, you know, as college students, my hunch is that they want to, you know, get paid and want to use this and treat this as a job and make money. But after chatting with some ambassadors and speaking to them more about why they joined the program and what they were interested in learning more about, they actually wanted to join the program because they wanted career opportunity. They wanted to work at Rent the Runway when they graduated college. They wanted mentorship. They wanted this to be really the first kind of marketing internship and experience on their resume. So all of that to say, ask your customer what they would be motivated by. You know, of course, there's traditional monetary incentives like, say, a dedicated salary, affiliate, or some sort of commission structure. Free product, I think always getting your ambassadors back into the product and experience so that they can continue to use it and share the experience and talk about it is always great. But then it's also interesting to get creative and think about what are other ways that you can show kind of your love and appreciation for all the work that they're doing. That could be, say, hosting an exclusive event for your ambassador community, giving them access to leaders at your company. I mean, we had at Rent the Runway ended up hosting career chats with our founder and members of our executive team. So I think, again, ask your ambassadors what they would be looking for and what they're incentivized by and get creative and think beyond just traditional pay.
Love those examples. And that the career one with the senior team, like a gold dust opportunity for those student ambassadors. But so easy for the brand to put together. I love that one. And obviously, Emily, you're very interested in creating long-term sustainable growth for brands, not just one-off events and one-year-long ambassador programs. So what's the scope? Where could this go for a brand who's listening, who's thinking, yes, this is something we should be trying. We know our customers want it. Where could this get to in, say, 5 years?
Yeah. So I think what I'm most excited about with ambassador programs and just community overall is that this is something that is uniquely ownable to you and your brand. You know, no other brand can replicate this kind of badge of honor and ability to be part of the inner circle of your brand. And so thinking of it that way, you know, algorithms change all the time. there's constantly going to be new channels and new, you know, paid channels that pop up that, of course, brands want to continue to explore and test into. But at the end of the day, your community is uniquely yours. And so I think thinking of it with that long-term lens, that this is not just a quick win tactic to drive growth, but this is a way in which we can, again, nurture deep relationships with our customer and community. And again, like, create that feedback loop as well so that you can continue to get insight into the future of your business from your community. And then also, again, reward your community for helping drive and be invested in company growth. So I would hope that an ambassador program is not just a one-off, you know, year-long tactic or test, but that it's really inherent into your marketing strategy and business strategy overall. And I think as part of that as well, and you had asked about tools previously, is also just thinking about community, adding it to, you know, your marketing calendar or however you look at and plan the year, including community in those strategic conversations up front will help ensure that it is kind of a tactic that's thought of in a way of thinking that continues throughout the organization. So I'd also recommend integrating it into any sort of marketing planning process or, you know, marketing calendar documents so that it's top of mind.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
If your tech stack is becoming a bottleneck to growth, it's time to replatform, and you should check out Shopline. Shopline is the modern commerce platform that's disrupting Europe as one of Asia's leading e-commerce platforms. Whether your bottleneck is setting up more sales channels like social commerce or expanding to new markets globally, Shopline takes care of everything from store setups, checkouts and payments to logistics and more. With single-click migration and out-of-the-box tools, they're there to help. The best part about it, you don't need to pay until your site is live. Here in the UK, they power brands like In The Style and Everything £5, whilst in Asia, they're the platform of choice for huge brands like Lego and Muji. If you want to scale, it's time to book your free trial or have a chat with one of the Shopline team. Find out what Shopline could do for you via ecmp.info/Shopline. That's ecmp.info/Shopline. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So, Emily, are you ready for the top tips?
Sure, I'm ready.
Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
I would recommend Setting the Table by Danny Meyer. When I was at Rent the Runway and we were thinking about this idea of experience, our team read this book. And it's all about this idea of experience and thinking about how you make people feel. In the book itself, you know, it's written by a restaurateur who has operated some really, really successful restaurants. And the thing that differentiates a good restaurant from a great one is really, again, that feeling of making people feel like they're at home. So lots of great lessons that can be applied to both in-person and digital spaces and customer experiences.
Oh, I like that. I don't think we've ever had that book mentioned before. So it's a very cool one. The traffic top tip, which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
I think everything we just chatted about community marketing definitely doesn't get the buzz. And so top tip is, you know, yes, there's some shiny performance media tactics out there, but I think thinking about these long-term community-driven organic marketing tactics like Ambassador would be my top tip.
It would be very strange if we got to this point in the interview, Emily, and you went, Google Ads. It's all about the Google Ads. Cool. The tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
Ooh, I have, over the past year, I've been really excited about Notion, and I've used that really as a central hub for myself and my team and clients as a way to stay organized, stay on track of goals, keep contacts all in one place. So it's kept me very organized and clear on what's coming up. So I recommend Notion.
Notion is a box I am yet to unlock. I'm a little bit worried it's going to send me like totally Notion crazy for a couple of weeks. All I'll do is set up my Notion.
Yes, that is exactly what happened to me. Now I'm totally hooked. It took me some time to get into it, but now it's really been my central place for both work and personal stuff too.
Very cool. Top tip then. Finally, the carbon top tip. What's your favorite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce business?
My favorite way is to get creative about packaging. One of my favorite things about Rent the Runway, and I'm still a subscriber to this day, is the reusable packaging that they send with every order. So I would get creative with how you send out your items and think about materials that can be reused or recycled.
Simple as that, everybody. Makes such a difference. And it's the thing the customers are really looking at is your packaging good or is it bad? So great tip. Thank you, Emily. Before we say goodbye, I'm sure some of the listeners are going to want to get in contact with you. So where can they find you and your business, please?
Sure, I would love to chat. I can be found on LinkedIn, Emily Hollander, or on my consulting website, which is still a work in progress. It's nextwave.marketing. I'd love to chat with you all, and I'm happy to offer a free 30-minute community consultation for anyone who's thinking about this big idea and is not sure how to tackle it. So I look forward to chatting with some of you soon.
Wow, what an awesome offer. And did they go to your website or LinkedIn to organize that with you, Emily?
Yes, you can head to my LinkedIn and just send me a note directly there.
Simple as that, everyone. Emily, that's very, very kind of you. I'm sure many will be taking you up on that offer. But mainly, thank you so much for sharing so much on the podcast. It's been brilliant diving into ambassadors and community with you. So thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Chloe.
Okay, so really interesting dive into the non-performance marketing ways to grow a new e-commerce brand, and so many interesting bits out of that discussion with Emily there. We talked about the general kind of community and then we drilled down into ambassadors, and I thought that the big pieces for me were there has to be the interest from the customer. You're testing and seeing how it evolves. Don't write out your 5-year plan for your ambassador program. You've got to see what works and what doesn't. Avoid getting too bogged down in the tech until you know where it's going, and embed that community thinking across the whole team. And that idea of putting it in every single marketing calendar, every single strategy session to keep it front of mind is such a good one. I loved that thought. You can get our notes on this episode, including the top tips and links to what we mentioned, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast or use our direct episode short links. They are ecmp.info/ whatever the number of this episode is. Put that in the URL bar and you will go straight to the correct episode page. And then when you get to the website, make sure you add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. And if you liked this episode, then why not go and have a listen to our other startup episodes at ecmp.info/startup. Thank you so much for tuning into this and every episode that you do of the eCommerce Masterplan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including progressing along the path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I hope you have a great week, and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
If your tech stack is becoming a bottleneck to growth, it's time to replatform, and you should check out Shopline. Shopline is the modern commerce platform that's disrupting Europe as one of Asia's leading e-commerce platforms. Whether your bottleneck is setting up more sales channels like social commerce or expanding to new markets globally, Shopline takes care of everything from store setups, checkouts and payments to logistics and more. With single-click migration and out-of-the-box tools, they're there to help. The best part about it? You don't need to pay until your site is live. Here in the UK, they power brands like In The Style and Everything £5, whilst in Asia, they're the platform of choice for huge brands like Lego and Muji. If you want to scale, it's time to book your free trial or have a chat with one of the Shopline team. Find out what Shopline could do for you via ecmp.info/Shopline. That's ecmp.info/Shopline.